Bella, hi to go, mommy dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
Welcome to July, baby. Guys, is it just me or June was long?
No, it was very long.
June was so long.
It had a lot, guys. June had so much. It had ups and downs. Downs and ups.
It's the same thing.
Yes, downs and downs again.
Nah, it was hella long, man. But we in July, and July comes with a new conversation series. I know it's something we've all been waiting for. We teased it at the beginning of the year, and we're finally here. This conversation series is about sex and sexuality. And we're going to be covering everything that has to do with sexuality, per se, because the conversation around sexuality is threefold, really. It's the way that somebody feels towards the other gender or the other genders. Mm-hmm. It is the capacity to experience sexual feelings, and it is engaging in sexual activity, right? And what that encompasses, whether you don't engage or you do engage, and in what way you engage. So it's a really, really packed conversation series. We will be having this conversation live for you guys as well on the 17th of July. Yup. Oh. Even more reason for you to buy your ticket. We're going to have someone here because that conversation during the live is going to be something around the lines of identity, sexual identity, and how that plays a role in our everyday lives, you know, lifestyle, and how sex ties in every day to that. And that person, I think, is so well versed in the conversation around sexuality that it's going to be an epic one. But for now, we're going to introduce the series. I think I'm yapping a lot. Let's do the life update.
Life update. What happened? Yo, guys, I actually spent the past kind of like recuperating, not just physically but mentally and emotionally. I feel like my exam season took a toll on me, not just the exam season itself, but because I was in exams, anything that happened in my personal life, in a personal capacity, I did not have time to really digest, deal with, or think about. So I tried to spend the week just kind of like injecting strength back into myself. So I spent a lot of time with my friends, different friend groups. So I spent a lot of time with Zara, my friend who got engaged and everything like that. I think we briefly met after the episode on Monday, we briefly just a 2-minute session for drinks with her fiance because he was leaving the country the following day. And then met up with her again to watch rugby, to watch rugby. And I just spent a little bit of time with her. And then I also spent time with another friend of mine. And then I spent time with my girls. I went to the zoo, guys. That was so fun, guys. The zoo is like a hike. So you get your steps in. I got my 10,000 steps in for the day at the zoo. And it was nice seeing the animals. At first, I was very apprehensive about going to the zoo because I felt like it's wrong to keep animals in captivity, so on and so forth. But then my friend's fiance actually owns a sanctuary back home, like with 400 guys. It's gonna be a wife that has like a camel and a lion in her backyard. That is so fun. So like, he has a sanctuary with so many animals, and he was just telling me that we only see the negative about zoos and we don't see the positive, because they do a lot of initiatives in the zoo, especially for those animals. Some animals are endangered, and like they have breeding programs in zoos to kind of keep these species alive. So yeah, so it was really fun going to the zoo. And then we also went to have breakfast, and funny enough, it's not funny, somebody offered me to be a part of the Illuminati.
I saw that. That's why I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting.
Like, guys, this person was so serious. Like, we had breakfast with my friends, and then afterwards we were like, okay, let's sit and take some pictures. So basically, I was sitting on the bench with my friends, and then this guy came and said, "Do you guys know some restaurant there at 44 Stanley?" And I said, no, we don't know that restaurant." And then he's like, "Oh, okay, cool." And then, like, he stopped a minute and he's like, "Oh, yeah, you Mommy Dearest." I was like, yeah, Mommy Dearest. He's like, "Oh, nice to meet you. Love your work. 1, 2, 3. I was like, "Oh, thank you so much." And then I was like, "Yeah, no, really don't know the restaurant. I hope you enjoy your day." He's like, "Yeah, stay blessed." And then he left, right? And then, okay, we carry on taking our pictures. That was like a normal interaction, 1, 2, 3. And then while we're taking our pictures, the person comes back. And he's like to me, he's like, hey, so I wanted like to tell you something. And I was like, oh, yeah, what do you want to say? Because I was literally taking my friend pictures. I didn't even get to take her pictures. So I was taking her pictures, like, yeah, what do you want to say? He's like, no, I don't think it's something I can say. Yeah, don't you want to go and grab drinks and then we can speak about it? And I'm like, now? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, what is it about? Like, give me context. Like, what do you want to tell me? Like, hey, Umpo, this is what I want to say. This is what it's about. And then I will deduce whether I even want to have the conversation, yes or no. And then he's like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm a part of, like, a some form of, like, a secret society. And I think it can benefit you. He even said something along the lines of, God sent me to free you. God sent him to free me. And I'm like, what's the secret society where God sent you to free me? He's like, the Illuminati. And then I was like, hi, bro. He's like, don't have bad perceptions about it. Like, don't perceive it incorrectly. Like, have an open mind. Don't have bad. It's not what you think it is.
It only starts with have an open mind.
Have an open mind. Yeah. It's not what you think it is. Like, there's no sacrifices. There's no any of that. It's just that I feel like, I don't know. I don't normally, like, offer this opportunity to anyone, but I just feel like, something in me is telling me that, like, I need to have you a part of this. You will benefit so much from it. This is how some people in my industry get campaigns and so on and so forth. And he kind of has the key to unlock it for me. And while he's telling me all these things, guys, I'm not sitting there and listening. I was like, whoa, cut the cameras, cut the lights. I don't want to be a part of your society. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to explain. That's when he's trying to explain that, no, this is the keys that can open. And I'm literally telling him, no, 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 no. And then he's like, he's not seeming to take my no. And I'm like, bruh, I don't care what opportunities this will get me. I don't care what advantages it will have for me. I don't care how much I'll benefit from this. I genuinely have been doing fine. The way I've been moving, the way my career path has grown, like, I'm okay. Like, spiritually, whatever's working in my life, the God that's working in my life is doing perfectly fine as it is. I don't need another tool to help amplify it. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain this to him that, you know what, I'm genuinely okay. And then he was not getting it. And he ended up getting so angry. And then, and time I was so calm.
Because, like, what if he's getting e-commission now? Eh?
Yo, bro, the way I was so calm, my friends had no idea that he was trying to get me into the Illuminati, and they were standing like 2 feet away. The way I was so calm. And they were like, no, literally, my friend who was standing right next to him said that all I heard was secret society, and then everything else, just your conversation just was zoned out. I didn't hear anything after that. And I was like, really? So you didn't hear it was the Illuminati? She's like, no. She's like, girl, why were you so calm? And I was like, no, because I don't want to aggravate people. Because some people have nothing to lose. So when you get there, you're like, no, they stab you, what you gonna do? So I was like, literally, like, no, I'm fine. He's like, you're gonna regret it. 1, 2, 3. And he literally walked away. He's like, nah, you're gonna regret it. Like, he said it with everything in him. And I was like, woo, I'm as fast. Because now it's like, he would try, like, you know, if he's working, really, if it's the Illuminati, really, if they have, like, spiritual things that they're doing, I'd be like, I'm going to be attacked spiritually just so that he can show me that I will regret it. Just so he can say, you see, your things didn't go well in life because you didn't say yes to this opportunity. So pray for me, Jesties. Pray for me, yo.
Maybe he was just trolling. I don't know.
I thought he was trolling. Looked around to look for cameras. There was no one. Guys, there was no camera. And he didn't come back to say, I was just joking. Like, he was so for real. Like, guys.
But hey, it's true. Some people say that they were also approached, like, at a random place. Like, it wasn't a formal thing.
Yes, at a random place. Like, guys, he even was talking about, like, how he lost his family members because of this thing. And that's how serious he is about it. Like, you know, I lost some people.
Sacrifice.
Maybe.
Blood sacrifice.
Maybe. His family cut him off. 1, 2, 3. And I'm like, and you want me to join this thing where your family is cutting you off? So that's my
saved.
Life. Saved. That's my life.
Saved. And oh, that guy caught me somewhere in 2020.
Maybe.
I would have said, can I have a deposit so I can see if it's going to work?
See the financial means.
So I can see. If it works out, we can visit this conversation again. 2020, we were so broke. It was COVID, no money.
Yeah, but that guy caught me then.
I'm still broke, but I still...
guys,
I'm still broke. And the whole time, we literally left Stanley after that. Because, something, my spirit, I felt spiritually drained from that conversation. Yeah. We left. Our day ended.
Guys, love for there's somebody in the comments who's going to say, how paisile?
Hey, I lost an opportunity. Guys, I was going to be getting, if I get booked and busy, maybe.
I don't endorse.
Hey, now imagine when I succeed. That's what she's so...
This episode.
She sold the soul. if I wear red shoes, do you know the red shoe theory? So if I wear red shoes to the live show, that's what she wore the red shoes. That's the sign.
Oh, love, I wore red shoes. My last get ready with me, please. This success is not Illuminati. I must clarify, please.
My life updates. I even wrote notes here because I tend to forget life updates. Yes.
Beauty University was this weekend.
Yeah.
How was your experience? Because I... No, listen. This no constructive criticism.
Yeah, not
to
real.
L'Oreal.
Real.
Do
better. No.
I was finding the words. No,
even normal civilians. I was speaking to ladies in the queues. They were like, Yazi Ansabui. Like people who bought tickets, things to win tickets, felt their efforts were in vain.
Yeah.
Love all your brands, by the way.
Clarify. Yeah, I do think, and I've been thinking about this all weekend, because I thought I was the problem. I was only there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I went home. Because I was I thought I was being dramatic. Because I got home and I was just like, what's wrong with me? Why did I feel the need to leave? And I realized that, one, I was overstimulated.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things happening at once. There's no organization. I have to figure out what I want to do, when I want to do it, whether I want to sit in on a masterclass or whether I want to visit an activation stand. Mm-hmm. Two, that area was full of all of the things that I like the least, should I say. Long lines. Yes. Hate it down. Yes. I hate it down. Having to earn something that should be a courtesy part of the event.
Yes.
I absolutely disliked that. Loudness. I don't like loudness at all. And there was if there's no masterclass playing, then there's music. If there's no music playing, then it just felt chaotic, right? And the stands were beautiful.
Yes. The beautiful setup was amazing, guys. Beautiful when decor. I walked in, I was like, I'm so excited until I experienced it and I was like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I could not do it. So constructively, what I think L'Oreal can do better next time is have a program. That would make it so much easier. Give people a selection, give people the program, and then they can select what to sit in on and what not to sit in on. Mm-hmm. Two, do not make people earn their goodie bags. Mm-hmm. What else in my life update? Working on some films. So finally, I went to my friend's film festival on Friday. She won an award. And just watching all of those films reminded me of how much I love to perform, how much I love to act. And so I met some of the other VITS graduates, film and television graduates, and we're working on something, short film that's going to go on YouTube, nothing too crazy, but we do want to exercise that muscle, that creative muscle, always tell stories. Even if you feel like there isn't a story to tell, best believe there is one. Whether it be where you're from, or your experiences, or other people's experiences, or whoever you've lived vicariously through, there's a story to tell. And so I'm really excited to tell these stories alongside some amazing creatives, qualified creatives, might I add. So I'm grateful to have a circle of people who are you know, really passionate about creating, whether it's creating films, painting, all of that. I even, you know, went to a gallery. It was all at Constitutional Hill. There's a lovely gallery at the women's prison. Also, in the same festival was a poetry slam. So I was in my creative heaven, man, which is, again, a muscle I'm going to exercise. I think I've done beauty, fashion, all of that content, hair, skin. I've done it quite well over the past few months. Mm-hmm. Now I want to exercise a different kind of creativity, maybe add it into
my
makeup and my whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my life. Very long level.
But I do want to say that you are so good at acting.
Thank you.
Have you thought about joining like an agency? Because
no,
it's something you are so good at. Like, you remember the Creative Maniac thingies? I watched Adeola. I'm so
did
mad
you?
You're cut it short.
It's not up to us, Shane.
No, Gikwati. Mina, Gikwatile.
Don't take it up
because
me. Take it up for Creative Maniac.
Within, guys, as they dropped, I would wait for them to watch it. Yes, I'm a fan, girl.
I was no idea.
I didn't even speak about it on the couch.
You didn't. And we were there. I was there. I was inside. As it dropped, I was there. Like, the gun. I was like, oh, my God. I think there was this scene where there was, like, a gunshot. And that's how you guys ended the episode.
Yeah,
and I'm like, who was it? Was it you?
Yeah.
Was it? Who was it? And it
was. What if it was? Because there's no season two. What if? But a lot of those films that we worked on, those short films that we worked on, are self-funded. So it's really difficult to put that much money into something and YouTube doesn't pay or there isn't a sponsor or, you know, it gets a little it gets a little bit discouraging. And Adeola was the third film I worked with Creative Maniac on. Before it was Who Is Who with the Boys RSA. Then there was the Ops. The Ops had, I met so many wonderful creators there. Just that he was also in the Ops. Crazy. Oh my, I was also in the Ops. Crazy. But we've worked on quite a few, and I understand why he cut it then and there, because it did feel like, oh, we're putting all of this work in, and it's not being seen. I mean, people are watching, but it's self-funded at the end of the day, yeah.
Guys, can these people, like, sponsor such things? Because there's so much money in this industry, but it's not being poured into the right things, you know?
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed those things, and it's the fact that they filmed them in 2 days.
Yeah.
That's crazy, and there's so much story that's told in 2 days. Yeah. You will get a whole season of a $3 million budget show, and you don't even know what happened, you know? And it's like, then there's such stories being told, but nobody is supporting them.
It's a lot of work, but it's beautiful to be part of. It's wonderful to be part of.
Join an agency, girl.
I don't know.
I would love to see you in season 3 of Shaga Ilembe.
Stop it!
Thank you! Because I'll go see your titties, but I'm excited.
That's the only discouraging part. Maybe I can come in as a married woman.
Yeah!
I can come in as a married woman because married women come in their titties, because that's the only discouraging part. But anyway, let's move on to our girl chat, guys.
Did you get carried away lately?
Sorry. Our girl chat, give me a second. That's a game. Practical ways to build confidence. Practicing self-awareness, dressing in what makes you feel confident, minding your language, and having tough conversations in low-stakes environments. So this is a conversation we promised you guys that we would have last month. Do you have any tips on how to build confidence? How did you transition from... I know you've always been confident, but what are some tips you can give to other GSTs to boost their confidence?
Oh my God, guys, self-care. Yeah. And in all aspects.
Yeah.
Like, my confidence is on an all-time high now because I'm actually...
Really?
Yeah, because I'm my feminine, my most feminine. Like, I'm dabbling into all these little girly things, and I would like to thank you for that. Like, you are a big influence in, like, how I've carried myself. Guys, surround yourself with people that grow you in one way or another. Mm-hmm. So... one thing that has helped me boost my confidence, guys, is my smell. Smelling good is now an obsession. Like, it's now an obsession. Like, every time people are like, you smell good. I'm like, yes!
I smell how I feel. I smell how I look. And I smell how I taste.
Yes. So, like, smell. Like, investing in your scent, guys. And trust and believe you me, invest in your scent. Like, I used to do these dupe scents that you spray. They hammer you. Or, like, serious. Like, you spray them. They hammer you. The scent lasts that 2 minutes. And then the rest of the day, you don't smell good anymore. Like, but, like, now... what do you call this? I actually spent a lot of money, I won't lie. But if you're working a 9-to-5 and you can afford it, do it. Spend your money. Get your scent. Get your nice scent. Zara was having a sale. They were even having a sale on scents. You can go and check it out, you know? Yeah. So I would say investing in your scent.
That's beautiful.
Investing in your skincare as well. Like, since doing the body scrub things and the stuff, I am heavy. Yeah. Like, investing in your skincare, just investing in all those things. But I feel like for me, the biggest confidence booster has been my smile.
Yeah.
Because, like, literally, that's the first thing people compliment me about. Like, I think I've gotten "you look beautiful" so many times that it doesn't hit anymore. Yeah. So now I have a new thing that people can speak about me about and be like, "oh, you smell good." I remember there was an Esma Jita shoot, and I was invited to the shoot, and then I walked in, and they're like, "yo,
what a confidence booster!
You smell nice." Yeah. And I was like, "really?"
Yeah.
They were even like, "no, like, what what era are you in? What if money is nice on you?" And I was like, "no, it's not money. I'm just being intentional about how I look at myself. Because he's like, "even your bag." And I'm like, "Hunzi, I've had this bag for 5 years.
Yeah.
Why is it like you only complimenting the bag now?" Yeah. And I guess it's like when you, every other aspect of you, maybe it's because I also walked confidently.
Yeah.
You stand out.
All of these things contribute to how you show up. Yeah. Like, being intentional about the nitty gritties is such an essential part of girlhood. You feel your best and most feminine when you take your time with yourself. Mm. Like, that running out of the house rushed, everything, you're going to look rushed, you're going to behave like a rushed person, you're going to sound like a rushed person. Never do that. And I love that you brought up scent, because scent is an introductory element of your look. How you smell can either put people off from talking to you or make them want to engage with you even more. And you guys know I've had like a little story time about smelly Ubers and things like that. Like, those things put you off conversation completely. Like, nobody wants to talk to somebody who smells bad. And everybody wants to know a little bit more about somebody who smells good. The conversation will start about, scent is such, it's such a layered thing. You think so small of it when you don't engage. But once you engage, you realize that even your scent profile can, now I'm speaking sciences, but when scent notes go up the nose, because there is a direct pathway from your nasal cavity to your brain, right? And there's a part of our brain that interprets smell and associates smell with certain characteristics, right? So if you smell if somebody smells bad, that note is going to go up to your brain and will be interpreted as somebody who does not take care of themselves, somebody who's haphazard, who doesn't, you know.
So you won't want to assign important tasks to those people. Yes,
exactly. That's an automatic thing that happens in your brain. It's not like a societal whatever, right? When somebody smells sweet, usually people love to engage with those people because sweetness is interpreted by the brain as an openness, as a kindness as well.
Guys, you're getting a scent masterclass.
I should. WB, baby. Call your girl. But yes, so those that's what scent does. And that's why I now, in my phase of life, I prefer woody, earthy, amber scents. Because those kinds of scents make people think twice about approaching you. Because they will assume, like for instance, a woody scent is a very strong scent. Mm. So somebody will check themselves before they wreck themselves when it comes to you. Because your smell is something that they have to interpret. It's not something that you like immediately. You have to smell me once or twice and be like, "oh, I actually like this amber thing. Oh, I like this oud." Remember when oud hit the market?
Yeah.
We're like, "oh, it's too strong, this thing." And now everybody's taking a liking to oud. That's the same way that people, that's the same attitude people will have towards you when you wear oud. Or wear an earthy woody scent. Is that first time, second time, third.
They're like, "girl!"
You see?
Yeah.
So that's why I love earthy woody scents. Anyway, I'm getting carried away about scents. That's my thing.
Influence. Let people influence you positively.
My other tip for building confidence is language. So, funny enough, over the past week, there was a lot of trending videos about being well-spoken and people were tagging me. And I was like, "guys, I know I can do better with my speech." But your speech is a huge part of how confident how confidently you show up in the world. Because you are able to articulate yourself. Also, you are able to articulate yourself in a way that makes people listen. Because there are people who are articulate in rubbish. And we have a couple podcasts that are an example of that.
Oh.
They speak very clearly about nothing that matters. right? So being articulate in a way that makes people
I didn't say she said
I can read your lips, girl. again, being articulate in something, being articulate in a way that makes you want to be heard and listened to. And that obviously means saying things that matter. It means kindness, being very polite in your words. Cursing is also not very ladylike, right? Mm-hmm. Which is something I'm also trying to let go of because I feel like cursing emphasizes what I want to say. You know what I'm saying? But it takes away from the value of your speech because it a lot of people's ears immediately turn off when you say when you utter a curse word, especially the really harsh ones like the F-bombs and the B-bombs, all of that. But it also just makes you sound even more intelligent. People, you make people want to listen. And it's also important that you, with when it comes to speech as well, refrain from speaking about things you are not well informed about. Because you will end up, it when you sober up after being so, you know, fired up about a conversation and you allow yourself to speak about something when you're misinformed, later when you sober up, and this happened to me in my childhood, where I would engage in verbal battles, right? And go home and be like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I should have said this. You know when you do that, it diminishes your confidence in your speaking ability because you spend too much time second-guessing yourself, and you wouldn't second-guess yourself if you spoke when you knew what you're speaking about. So be well-informed. Don't speak without having the full scope of the conversation that you're engaging with. Try not to use curse words. Be very articulate. I'm also trying to use the word like much less. Saying like, like this, like unnecessarily. The ums, the ahs, the hers, the has.
When you stutter, you seem unsure.
Yeah, and if you're still in high school, I would highly encourage doing something like debate. Or public speaking, yes. Because those things...
It's a muscle. Improve,
yes.
Speaking well, guys, and speaking publicly is a muscle. It's not something people are born with the ability to do. Yeah. It's something they have to exercise continuously, you know? And I am so happy you spoke about speech and everything like that, because when you're confident and you speak well and you articulate yourself well, people also receive you better. And the people who hate you for articulating yourself well are not the people you want to... associate yourself with.
Ask that person why they hate you, then you'll realize that they're jealous of your ability to articulate
because
yourself,
like I was they won't be able to tell bullied you for being able to articulate myself in English, like oh my god, wow, was khoa, you're not going to going to like African black schools, guys, oh my god, the worst breeding ground in terms of like for people who are like confident, like I'm telling you, in the right things, confident in the right things. They will encourage you in all the wrong things, but they will discourage you in all the right things. And I was like very like bullied. I was bullied for that, like now I have a podcast. But like it's crazy how like, and the right people will recognize that, because I remember I was at I once went to a firm, right? Mm-hmm. And I would articulate myself and I would speak and I would answer and I would interact. And they were like, oh my God, are you signed to us? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. They're like, why not? We want you now. Yes. You know? And it's because of how I articulate myself. Yeah. So
it's a beautiful one, guys. Try. Have more conversation. I know people sometimes let their social anxiety get in the way of exercising their speech. But do it, guys. Put yourself in uncomfortable situations, because sometimes talking to strangers even is incredibly difficult, because you maybe you're overthinking what to say, how to say it, you know, and what do? You don't want to offend somebody by asking that question. Mommy clap. Anyway, don't overthink conversation. Yes. If somebody's offended and they don't let you know, that's their problem.
Also, consume the right things, guys.
Yes,
absolutely. Things that increase your vocabulary and actually like make you speak better.
Because stay away from brain rot.
Yeah, because a part and parcel of why my mother had children that could articulate themselves well while they went to public schools was purely because that woman had us watching Mickey Mouse, Clubhouse, like she literally made us watch Mickey Mouse, Bunny, all those things. So my vocabulary was very big when I was small, and maybe that's how I was bullied, because you think you're smart because I spoke smart. Like it was crazy. Like you think you're smart because you articulate yourself well. So consume things that increase your vocabulary, but also like increase the manner you speak. Because I know people know English words, but they don't know what they mean and how to use them in proper sentences and then they end up sounding dumb. So,
yeah. My last thing about speech before we move on to the game is also the content of your speech in terms of how you refer to yourself.
Oh.
Be very mindful of how you speak to yourself and about yourself. Because, again, we spoke about how words, practice, and your brain are linked, right? The more you do something, the more your brain registers it as something you naturally should do, right? So when you speak ill of yourself, calling yourself out of your name, like, I'm so fat, or I'm so, you know, I don't like my this, I don't like my that, that will definitely negatively affect your confidence. That's because true. It will be a repetitive thought, and so you will always be thinking it in the back of your mind, or you'll be waiting for somebody to say it to you. I know that when I was experiencing really bad breakouts in high school, the way that I spoke to myself about those breakouts made me hypersensitive to the things that people said about me. When they probably didn't even mean it that way, you know? Or when they were sharing, oh, your skin is getting better, I would immediately retract that compliment and be like, no, but look at my dark spot. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. So speak to yourself very kindly. Mirror work is also really good for confidence. We did speak about affirmations last year, but it's now being termed mirror work. It's pretty much the same thing. You look in the mirror and you speak to yourself. You are beautiful. You are confident. You are energetic. You are charismatic.
Have you watched Love Island? No. There's this girl on Love Island who literally, when she's alone, she's like, I am beautiful and I'm a thing. Like, she literally sings affirmations to herself. And it's like, in a toxic environment like that, that's what I'm sure is helping her, like, push through, you know? So how you speak about yourself.
Nobody's going to tell you who you are if you already tell yourself. You know what I'm saying? All right, we can move into the game.
So let me read you guys what the game is about. So basically, they are on these cards over here. There are words that are very taboo, okay? Words that are very taboo to speak about, especially in conversations about sex. So what's going to happen is we're going to pick a card.
Yeah.
Describe the word without saying it and let the other person guess it. Yeah. And then maybe if we have a little something, 2 seconds, if we have like a 2 seconds of maybe why you think that word is taboo, if you feel like it.
Yes.
Then you can kind of like explain why you think it's taboo.
I'm interested to see how you describe these things.
Okay, should I start then?
Yeah,
okay, let's see. Ooh. Oh, shame, man. So there are people who act on this thing. And yeah, they act and it's distributed on platforms such as OnlyFans, Pornhub. Oh, I couldn't say. You knew before I even got right, there.
You could have just said adult films or something.
Films, yeah, they act. They're some stars.
Okay, my turn. When somebody takes a particular sexual interest in something that is unusual.
Kinky.
Yes. There we go.
Okay. Let's go. Okay, there's different types of this word. There's you can be physically.
Oh, intimacy.
Yes.
I'm like, what? Oh my goodness.
I close my eyes.
Okay. Oh, okay, this is easy. Self pleasure.
Masturbation.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, what is self pleasure? Yo, guys, imagine I forgot what it was.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. That means you don't do it.
Okay, it's a genre. No, is it a genre? It is a genre, I think.
A genre of what? Of pornography?
Not necessarily pornography, but like, what would pornography fall under? What genre would it be? It's very letter after D.
E?
Yes.
Erotica.
Yes.
Girl, erotica is a genre of literature. So, you know,
I said it's a genre because there's also films that are erotica. Yes. That's why I said it's a genre.
Okay. Okay, that's pretty easy. Another word for protection?
Condom.
Yeah.
But that's not the only protection that exists, guys. Yes.
Oh, we'll speak about that in the next girl chat, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay, this is something that is taken away. That's how, like, society describes it.
Oh, virginity. Yes. I'm so excited to talk about in the long topic that. The whole concept of taking virginity.
See, are we?
I don't think that this is a blank one. Okay. Yes. Okay. Happiness. That was the game. Guys, let us know if... we didn't even share our thoughts on any of these things.
No, we didn't.
What are your thoughts as... Should I say Christian? Can I use the word Christian?
Yeah, yes.
As a Christian on masturbation.
You see, when you said that... don't speak while you're not well-knowledged.
Okay.
I think that's where I'll take that stance. Because I don't know how biblically masturbation... I don't know what are biblical innuendos about masturbation. Yeah. I don't think it was anywhere... Maybe I'm wrong, you see? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it was anywhere explicitly mentioned in the Bible. So I really don't have any thoughts on it in terms of biblically.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I was interested to find out if there were any thoughts. All right, guys, our long topic is why sex and sexuality matter. We kind of delayed having this conversation just because we are conservative in our beliefs.
Yes.
Even in our lifestyle, a little bit conservative, but that doesn't mean that the conversation shouldn't be had just because we hold different beliefs. But also, I think I was when I was considering my conservatism, I was thinking of sexuality and sex in such a small way, right? When it's such a broad conversation topic, especially because there's been this conversation all over social media about conservatism.
Oh, because
and purity,
of
yes,
the one girl's TikTok. Yes, what's her name? DeFello's TikTok. Yes. Oh my God, you are so brave. She's one person who on a conversation about confidence. We would need DeFello on our couch.
Actually,
she is such a confident
actually, we'd love to invite her.
Yeah. You know, somebody sent me her profile and said, please, we want her on our couch.
Yes.
DeFello, please come to our couch if you're watching this. Yeah. I saw that, you know.
I'll hit her up. We follow each other on TikTok.
Really? Yeah. Amazing.
I met her at some Maybelline party, their 110th birthday. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I hope she comes.
So, yeah, so because of that, I also saw that trending, and I was like, yo, guys, they ate her up. The internet ate her up.
Look, I'm actually glad she posted that, because there is always a need to have a conversation about sex and sexuality. Again, sexuality within the context of sexual activities. Not feelings towards the other gender, feelings towards the other gender. We'll speak about homosexuality, heterosexuality, all of that. The live show.
Hey, banana. Buy your tickets now.
Buy your tickets. But right now we're talking about sexual activity, right? Like I said, there's always a need to have those kind of conversations. Yeah. And her video sparked the conversation.
It did.
So I think it was a great idea for her to post it. Now, the discourse has become the idea of conservatism and sexual purity being tied to internalized misogyny and being a result of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Very interesting for me. And the conversations that people are having shook 2024, 2023 me up. Mm-hmm. Because I think subconsciously and maybe consciously, I was propelling the ideas of purity myself, right? And not necessarily by saying that women who engage with men sexually on a regular basis are sexually impure. I've never said that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of my mind, I did think that abstinence was not necessarily the height of sexual purity, but the exercise thereof, of a form of sexual purity. And I've educated myself over the past few days and the past few months, really, about sexuality and how we can embrace our sexuality without putting ourselves at risk.
Yes.
Right?
For me, you know, funny enough, like during that whole discourse, Diary of a CEO, I think you know that podcast.
Yes.
The guy had a female guest there, and I think, I don't know what she does, but she had like an interesting view on... engage, like, you know how like our generation engages in a lot of like sexual activities, very like we out there about it, you know, like woo, liberation, sexual liberation. That's a great word to use it, right? Yeah. And she had some interesting views about it.
Yeah.
And she was talking about engaging in sexual activity when you are young, meaning a teenager or your early 20s, and how that can have an impact on you mentally later on in life. Ooh. It affects you later on in life. It affects your confidence. It affects how it affects how you see yourself. Because now you're a bit older, and some of those people that you have, you might have slept with or might have engaged with, and what you call this, like, they bring a little bit of shame to you. Not as to say that that is okay, but it's just a feeling that we have as human beings, especially women. Those are the things that we end up carrying in our 30s and so on and so forth. So we appear less confident. We don't have great self-image of ourselves because of our sexual liberation at a very young age, and it has been proven.
I wanted to ask you, what is something you know about sex now that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Guys, I wish I was, the conversation was had with me, you
yeah,
know,
like in depth.
In depth, like, tell me, like, give it to me, like, straight, give it to me, that this is what happens, this is what will happen to you mentally, this is what will happen to you spiritually. Don't give me the You have sex outside of marriage, you're going to go to hell. There's a lot of things that people go to hell for. Lying, stealing, one, two, three. So I've lied 10 times. So you can't scare me with having sex, you go to hell, because I've already lied, you know? Yeah. So I'm already like there, you know, type of thing. God. But like, it's a thing of like, I think dismissing the conversation in that way, in the church, in at home, and so on and so forth, I wish that was not what happened. I wish they sat down with me and said, hey, this is what sex is, this is how it's done, this is what happens, this is what will, this is how it will affect you mentally, this is how it will affect you spiritually, this is how it will affect you emotionally. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to consider yourself a woman, or do you still see yourself as a child? Because if you still see yourself as a child, and you still are a child, then this is something you shouldn't be engaging in. I feel like that's how I wish that's how the conversation was had with me.
I agree. I fully agree. I think a lot of the ideas that were shared with us by our parents, our teachers, our leaders, are, they stem from religion, culture, tradition, society. Those are the ideas that they had about sex and their roots. And all of these things, when we think about them, all of these institutions, the institution of religion, the institution of culture, tradition, they're all patriarchal in their nature.
Yes, they are.
And fully. So it is the men who inform how we think about sex.
Yes.
Whether you'd like to admit it or not. And the example that I'll make here is, we spoke about this a little earlier in the game, about how the example is how we were spoken to about virginity. As though
it's something purely for women to try and hold.
Yes,
and keep.
The term, he took my virginity. One insinuates that your first sexual activity is something to be handed over as a gift. And once you have given it, you have nothing else left to give. That is such a harmful rhetoric, because it then forces women, inevitably, it makes you link your value as a person to your sexual activity, to what is happening with your vagina. And that is so harmful, because then we have many discourses, right? Sub discourses about body count.
Yes.
Having, about purity.
Having only one partner versus multiple partners, so on and so forth. Guys, and it's for me, for in the opposite, how like for women, it's like took and you gave away. For men, it's made as a prize. Yeah. It's seen as something to hunt for and to go and take and to go like, oh yeah, no, I've taken like five girls' virginities. Yeah. Guys, I've heard men speak. This is what they brag about. Yeah. So it's like, oh.
And it's really harmful. It's extremely painful to grow up thinking that sex is something that happens to you and that you are not a willing participant.
Yes, participant.
And that's,
yes.
Again, it makes you think, not even makes you think, it makes you realize that our attitude towards consent, or us not knowing the particulars of consent, comes from the fact that we never really were educated on how we are in ourselves desirable, or beings that have the desire for sex.
Guys, when people say like men have like a higher sex drive than women, that's a lie. it's a blatant lie. Scientifically, it's a lie. Yeah. Maybe women, because of society, we exercise self-control better,
yeah,
but the desire is one and the same.
Yeah.
It's okay to desire sex.
Yeah.
You are a human, yeah, being, and that this is something you were made. Like, this is how you were made. Yeah. Like, your brain, your body. There's a reason why when you are horny, you get wet. Your body is preparing for penetration. Like,
yeah,
it's a natural feeling, you, yeah, know? So to make it seem like, oh, a woman's desire for sex is her being impure.
It's unnatural.
Is unnatural. Yeah. It's very patriarchal.
Yeah.
And it's very harmful. And you know how, yeah, then it harms women who, for instance, don't have sex until they get married? Some of them can't even partake. Mm-hmm. They struggle to partake once they get married. I remember, mm-hmm, my teacher, love her down.
All the time suppressing something.
Yes, like my teacher, Miss Ratswana, love, mm-hmm, her down. You guys know her by now.
Yeah, now we know her by name.
Madam, I need that woman to visit us on the couch, yeah, one day. She once, like, had the conversation, yeah, about sex with us. Yeah. I went to an all-girls school. It was okay. Yeah. And she was talking about how, like, she never enjoyed sex, mm-hmm, when she first, like, started out her marriage. Yeah. Like, she didn't enjoy it at, yeah, all. And imagine, like, having this whole mental thingy, yeah, like, oh, desire, I'm impure, this, that, I'm giving something away, then, yeah, I'm less than, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But, like, it's a mental thing. So mentally you already have a bad idea and a bad notion about it. It doesn't mean just because automatically you married, now all those things you've thought about go away. So imagine having that mental battle before engaging in sex, mm-hmm, even in marriage. Mm-hmm. Your body won't respond. Mm-hmm. You won't enjoy it. You know, it'll be something that you will no longer desire.
You thought so negatively about, yes, it your entire life.
Your entire life. Just because now there's a ring on your finger, those notions, yeah, won't change. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really crazy.
Dude, and the other thing that I want to say about it too, right, is that as much as these conversations are not had, there's a necessity for them. Once... It's important to know that sex, again, a lot of what we know about sex is informed by things like soft and hard pornography.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, soft pornography will be imagery that we see in the magazines and imagery that we see online and whatever is sex, but not necessarily. And then hard pornography is the videos, right? But a lot of what we know about sexual intimacy is informed, yeah, by those things. And we all know that behind the camera when a pornographic video is shot is a is a man, right? And so we need to redefine sex as a whole for ourselves as women. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to be educated about what sexual intimacy really is, because we think that penetration itself
is sex.
Is sexual intimacy. And, yeah, again, that impacts our relationships in the long run, because we then, again, tie sexual activity, the engagement of sex with a man, whether he wants it with you or not, to our value.
Mm.
Because that's the imagery that we've seen our entire lives, that it's the body that makes us desirable. Again, hard pornography, even soft pornography, propagate ideas of body image, mm, being tied to being sexually attractive, mm, or nudity even being part of sex, right? We have to educate ourselves on how broad, how vast sex as a topic is and sexual activity as a topic is as well. But I also wanted to share my think piece on the effects of sexual conservatism and purity, which largely propagated in religion, mm, and in tradition and culture. Mm. But what they do is they insinuate that if you behave yourself as a woman, you will be rewarded with marriage. That's essentially what both of these rhetorics are insinuating. And that couldn't be further from the truth. That well-behaved women don't move and shake anything. They're empty vessels because you're pandering. But also, it's not a guarantee that if you practice, quote-unquote, sexual purity, you will get married.
Mm.
And in no way, shape, or form should marriage be
end goal. I was about to get to that, because it's like, that is sad, guys. If marriage is your end-all, be-all,
yeah,
and you are... nothing outside of it, it's tough reality. Yeah. Yeah. Sana, tough reality. Yeah. And you know how it's like a reward for women and how it's something that men give? It also makes even marriage not a we're not equally participating in this. It's something that I'm gifting. I'm gifted, and it's something you only have the ability to gift, you know. Yeah. And guys, oh my God, yo, guys, patriarchal religions, including mine. I tell you,
I'm glad you realize it.
Including
mine too. Actually,
including mine, like literally, like damage, like as guys, like how our psyche as women, how we see ourselves, how we interact, our confidence, how we value ourselves, and how we see each other.
Yeah.
Now you're going around telling another woman that, hey, listen, you don't love yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know her
you
every
don't
day.
Love yourself because you're exercising.
Your sexual liberty, like your freedom to have sex, you know? You know, then what is it? Is it something that is not supposed to be had there?
Yeah.
Because then what is the difference? Mm-hmm. If loving myself is tied to that activity, then even you who partakes in it only with one man, does that mean you don't love yourself? Because that activity is what defines your value.
And also, what happens when that activity happens without my consent?
And I was gagged.
You have to think about these things.
And I was gagged.
You get it. It's like you think about it.
This
and
is
like
so damaging, guys. This rhetoric, it's so damaging.
Absolutely. And I think it's a self-defeating rhetoric, too. Because if increased sexual activity makes the woman impure, is it not the man who is impure because he's the one who takes the purity away? Mm-hmm. Very self-defeating. And it shows you how small-minded the people who even
thinking that
started this rhetoric are.
For
you defeated yourself with the logic.
For me, I would say practicing safe sex is something I will forever. Like, yes. It doesn't mean just because you have sex with one partner, you won't get an STI or HIV, but it does reduce your chances of getting those things.
Yeah.
And health is wealth. You know, do things to keep you healthy, like going to the gym and also practicing being smart when you are sexual. Like, be smart about it. Be safe about it. Don't be having sex with people you don't know, unprotected.
Yeah.
In all means, you know? Yeah. And another thing, another facet of sex, it's very, I don't want to lie, it has many facets. It has the physical facet, but it also has the spiritual facet of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking away the spiritual facet of sex, kind of like, you are weighing it, you're making it more shallow than it actually is, you know? So when you are engaging in sex with multiple partners and at the same time, think about the weight that it is having on your soul. And I'm not talking about your soul for getting into heaven. I'm talking about your soul for your happiness, your overall well-being.
Mm.
You know, depression, shame, all these things. Think about the impact of that, you know? That's where I would bring in then, do things that help you love yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Do things that help you love yourself.
And I know this conversation, or maybe the direction in which we're going with this conversation may
trigger a lot.
May not even trigger, but maybe concerning to our religious audience. Our audience, part of our audience that's religious, right?
Yes.
Because when you grow up in the church or you're informed by religion, a lot of what you think about sex is restrictive and constrictive. Like, it's very suffocating. Mm. And I think that kind of open your mind. And I'm saying this because last year I had a conversation with we, because I represent both of us. We had a conversation with Neo.
Yes.
About sexual liberation.
Yes.
And if you watch that episode, I was still very much in my religious echo chamber.
Yes.
Where I wasn't willing to hear anything about sexual liberation because in my mind, I thought it automatically meant being promiscuous.
Yes.
My goodness. If you watch that episode, I'm very ashamed, but I'm happy to have it up there because it shows growth, happiness. It shows growth, right? But I would encourage our religious audience members to open their minds to the fact that sexual liberation doesn't necessarily have to do with engaging in sex itself all the time.
That's
no.
True.
It's also about educating yourself when it comes to sex and having conversations. Because for a very long time, the reason why there is the concept sexual liberation is because we were suffocated. We weren't able to speak about sex in open spaces. We weren't able to present ourselves as beings who desire sex. We weren't even able to encourage each other to engage in healthy sexual behaviors. These things never happened. That's why the term exists. So part of sexual liberation is, one, presenting accurate information. Because when I was a child, when I was a young girl, I didn't have accurate information about sex. Again, I was informed by soft porn, hard porn, by the
lack of.
Yes, lack of. And so I went to find answers about sex and what it is and what its importance is. In the wrong places, in places that were headed by men.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Exactly. Yes. So our religious audience members, please make that consideration as well. Also, part of sexual liberation is also educating yourself about your sexual language. Mm-hmm. We'll speak about that maybe in the next episode. Your sexual language, mm-hmm. Yes, they're called sexual languages. There is the kinky. So there are women who speak. See, these are things we didn't know. Because we thought sex, one done, penetration, let's go. Don't have sex with boys.
And if you like certain things, you are impure. Yeah. If you like certain things,
you're unruly. You're a misbehaved woman.
Please. You know, and
we don't encourage.
Yeah, no, guys. Nah, the conversations that are being had about sex right now are not good ones and are not positive ones. Yeah. And them being so negative, the women who then are very sexually liberal, you know, the women who then go and are so proud about it and speak about it.
It's because,
because of how much oppression they receive, they even go above the line to show you their sexual liberation. It's very harmful, guys. It's very harmful. It's like, yes, we must speak about it. Yes, we must be very liberal and understand that we are beings who are allowed to desire it as well. And it is something that we are also party of and not something that is taken from us, you know. Very important to know these things. But I feel like because of the pressure and the oppression from other women and the patriarchy, the women who voice these things, some of them, a small group of them, go above and beyond the line to voice these things to a point where they harm themselves in doing so, you know? Like, you have to go above and beyond, guys. Yeah. You know, we can't cross certain lines.
We need to have these conversations.
Yes, you know?
And I'm really excited. I wish there were, like, 5 or 6 Mondays in July so we can have even more of these conversations.
Guys, if the conversation is so good because we didn't have a guest now.
Yeah. Imagine.
We can bring in guests and have, like, 2 months of sex.
Yeah. 2 months of sex. Guys, please emancipate your minds.
Oh, no, guys. I'm not saying I'm doing it, and I'm not saying I'm not doing it.
I was about to say. So
before
it's like,
Nini Chamba Chamba.
I was about to say that it's, again, question yourself as a woman. Question your internalized misogyny. If you think that a woman's openness to talk about sex and sexual activity is engaging in it. It automatically means she's helter skelter. Change the way that you think. No. That is absolutely, you can't deduce certain things just because we're having open conversations about sex. I think if you've ever thought that about a girl who's spoken openly about sex, revisit your views.
Internalized misogyny.
Revisit them.
Yeah.
Think about how you think about sex.
Yes. And then for me, I would like to say, for the older audience, stay tuned. Yeah. For our younger audience, this is a conversation series for the entire month.
Yeah.
You know, because I said when I was younger, I wish I understood the mental, spiritual, emotional impact, and also the sexual safety that must be practiced if you are doing it before engaging in anything, you know. So wait for those conversations. Don't see this as a ticket and we are telling you guys to go and do it. For our younger audience, this is not a ticket for you guys to go and do anything.
Yeah.
We are just here to educate like we've always done for the past year. Yeah. Our older audience, hold yourselves and stay tuned.
Absolutely, guys. Everything we've said is in no way, shape, or form
encouraging.
I think we needed to tackle, before we go into the practicalities of having sex, sexual health, and the implications. Again, what we've said is not insinuating that there are no implications of sex. We just wanted to start off the conversation by addressing the attitude
towards sex before we go into the nitty-gritties, because it is the attitude first that must change before
we can even talk about the mental, emotional. Because now you guys are gonna see us talking about mental, emotional impact as, oh my god, they're against it. Purity warriors, no.
Calling them purity warriors is diabolical.
No guys. I hope you guys be good. Oh, you want to tackle one more thing
on my end, okay. Right? Again, I think I love that you brought up the fact that we are going to speak about the implications of sex. Do I encourage women to be abstinent?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, we agree. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And not for reasons of purity culture or conservatism, or that the less you have sex, the more the you mean you in the world, yeah, the more valuable you are and the more pure you are. That is ridiculous, and I will never ever propagate such a thing.
Yes.
I encourage women to be abstinent for the purpose of convenience.
Oh, Jehovah.
Sex is inconvenient in all its aspects. Maintaining your health, your vaginal health when you're having sex.
Your pH
is a little bit tougher when you're having sex, okay? And I'm talking about family planning. I'm talking about...
Everything, guys.
Tiny visits. Yes. I'm talking about a pH balance that's off. Also, you don't have to deal with the effects of hormonal birth control. Mm. Because you're having sex, you're going to need family planning. Now you're gaining weight. You don't know what's happening.
You're breaking out.
All of these things. You have to look at protection. I'll say this like I said it before. The less you engage with men,
the better. Guys, no, I'm telling you guys, these people will somebody embarrass can cheat you. On you, now you have and you're just like, oh my god. And you're like, oh my god, you know, guys, no, men will embarrass you. And the less men you have to that embarrass you, the better for your own mental health.
And the sad thing is that even when you get married, you can't avoid these things. Marriage is not a cure for sexual risk.
Yes.
A married man can give you an STD.
Yes.
Let's be clear about that.
Yes.
But I would encourage abstinence for the sake of convenience. It's way more convenient to deal with your vagina. Let me be particular. To deal with your vagina where nobody's touching it. When nobody's inside of it, very convenient. Also, emotionally and mentally and spiritually, is a little bit more peaceful.
Yeah, but sexual desire, normal, natural, okay.
Yes, it's okay to be horny, girl. It's just what you do with that horniness.
Yeah, once I lock in on masturbation, we'll speak about it. Like, once I lock in on, like, being well-versed.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Being well-versed. Be like,
are you going to explore?
Maybe.
I can't wait to speak about that,
guys. Once I'm well versed,
professional.
Yes, a professional. Like, once I'm well versed on masturbation, I'll speak on it. I mean, well versed in all aspects, because guys, I won't lie, I'm very well aware.
Yeah.
My religion is patriarchal.
Yeah.
So I want to go into it on my own.
Yeah.
Find the answers for myself by asking and reading and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Because sadly, most pastors and people you receive advice from are either women who have internalized misogyny or men who are just misogynistic. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't want anyone to give me a rhetoric out of purity culture.
Yeah.
I want to be well versed and know
where
my standing will be.
With sex and masturbation.
Yeah.
Well, I think younger and older audience, feel free to drop your sex questions. That's what we're going to call them. Sex questions in the comment section.
Yes.
And we'll be happy to address them in the next episode. Because
on the live show.
Oh! Yeah. Actually, put your sex questions down below and we'll do like a mini sex Q&A.
Yes.
At the
live show.
Genius,
for
man.
Those who can't make it, and the only people who can't make it are not in the province.
Yes.
If you're in Joburg, go and ask your question live. If you can't make it because you're not in the province, ask it in the comment section.
Okay, guys. Thank you for watching. It's going to be a very, very packed series.
Yes.
A very interesting series. Bring your friends, bring your younger siblings even.
Yes.
Because the way that we're talking about sex is a way that should change the narrative around sex, especially for women.
Yes.
So, do you want to do the cues?
Yes.
No. Live show. Details.
Live show details. By the way, you guys can click the link to buy your tickets. It's there in our description box over there. The tickets are selling out. I checked.
Are they?
Yeah, guys, our whole middle row is booked. There are no tickets in the middle row.
And the middle row is the largest row, guys.
Only the so side rows are left, and it's even half of both sides, side rows left. So the tickets are selling, guys. Get your ticket. It's only 159 rand 90 cents. Very affordable. It's happening from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. 6 to 7 is meet and greet and pictures.
Yes.
And if you're Jesty, just come and say blue. And we'll know you are a real one. We'll stop everything.
We don't even know what we're wearing. Can't say blue, yes. We'll let you know the color.
Okay, we'll let you know the color.
We don't know what the colors we're wearing.
Okay, that's fair, that's fair, that's fair. But there'll be a code word we'll give you guys so we can drop everything just to take a selfie with you.
Yep.
You know, if you're a Jesty, so we know our Jesties, you know. So 6 to 7, it's Rose meet Bank. And greet. Rose Bank, Sturk and Nicole. We'll give you guys directions on how to get there. Very easy.
Very easy.
You guys will get there.
To the fun company. The elevators that are towards the left of the fun company from the zone entrance, that is the Kinoko. Don't ask me how I know that. I'm always there.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always in
Rose Bank. Me too.
Yeah, like the back of my hand at this point. All right, do you want to do the cues?
Yeah, the cues are buy your tickets, subscribe, like, comment, and share, guys. And have a blessed week. We love y'all.
Love you lots. Bye, guys. No memberships today's cutting.
Yeah, no.